Good evening and welcome to the November 20th meeting of the San Luis Coastal Unified School District Board of Trustees. The board met in closed session. At that time, we followed up on a student discipline. It was a hearing and the board the order of business. I would like to recommend a change in the order of business, and that is that we bring item number four and we make that our first item of business after reports by school staff and the status of the state budget. So we'll make that our number one item. Any other changes in that one? Okay. Very good. Let's move on then to approval of minutes. Do I hear a motion to approve the minutes?
I approve the. I make a motion to approve the minutes as set forth in the agenda.
Second.
Okay. And the only change I'd like to make, there was one thing, and that was on, what was it? Where is that? November 6th. I was picked to be the chair of the CSBA Annual Conference Planning Commission Committee. So, if we could make that change.
I'll amend the motion to include that amendment.
And then, Mr. Millar, do you want us to separate these out since you weren't at the last expulsion hearing we had on, I believe it was November 13th?
Let's see. No, I was present for that. It was the November 6th meeting that
November
I missed.
November 6th meeting? Okay.
And I believe, did I miss the November 8th?
No, that was the November.
November the 6th and the 8th, I would have missed both of those.
Okay.
So, and I regret it deeply.
Okay.
Not really.
So would you like the opportunity to vote on the 13th, Mr. Millar, or would you?
Actually, if I may, I'd just move approval of the minutes of November 13th, and if I could get a second, leave the rest of you to what you need to do on the other minutes.
Okay, why don't we take a vote on the November 20th and November 8th board meetings, and then we'll separate those out from November 13th.
We don't have a 20th.
November.
Sure. Okay.
I'm sorry.
Well, actually, what I was going to suggest, if we voted on November 13th, I was there for that one, so we could just vote, and then I'll just be quiet for the rest of them.
Okay,
John, so second.
Make a motion. I'll second.
I move approval of November 13th, 07 minutes.
Okay, and I'll second that.
Okay. I believe we still have a motion on the table for November.
I'm withdrawing that motion, we can address the November 13th minutes
all
and
right.
move forward.
I get it now. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Mr. Peter, any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Carries 5-0 with one abstention. Okay. Mr. Millar abstained from that. Okay. The board did receive one letter from Ann Brown, Secretary of the Avila Beach Civic Association, and it addressed the old Avila School Historic Building. Let's move on to public comment. Is there anyone from the public who would like to address the board on any issue that relates to school district business? Mr. Bedrigan. Yeah.
Bruce Bedrigan, President, the San Luis Coastal Teachers Association. We met last week with the site reps from all the different schools and the executive board of the Teachers Association, and I basically reported to them how much the parents and the school board and many of the students enjoyed using Power School and Power Grade. But I'm here to tell you that most of the teachers aren't happy with this program. Right now, what I'm hearing from teachers is that teachers are spending twice as much time trying to learn Power Grade, trying to be brought up to speed with it, entering their grades, sometimes losing their grades. It's still a quirky program. There's still bugs in it. And I know that it's going to take a while to work out all of the bugs. But the teachers feel that central admin right now is not going ahead and understanding that these teachers are going above and beyond and putting in the extra time and the extra hours that it takes to try and make this thing work. And the only reason it's even working at all is because of that extra time the teachers are putting in. They're putting in time after school, a lot of it's after school and evenings. So the other thing is it's limited us as far as we can't go ahead and enter quarter grades. So a lot of teachers are double marking. Basically, they're keeping a grade book, and now they're trying to keep everything on Power Grade, too. And there's been a subtle shift, too. And the shift is that at the five-week progress report, it used to be that we would mark just students who are in danger of failing, D's and F's. That's all we had to put in there. But now Power Grade demands that every student receive a grade at the five-week marking period. A lot of teachers, that first 5 weeks of school is when teachers are going ahead and they're doing introductory exercises. They're going ahead and initiating procedures that are going to help the students along. A lot of them are pretty easy exercises that build rapport in the classroom. So the grades are pretty high, and that's a strategy that teachers use, that they want students to feel good about being in their class. So the grades could be pretty high in those first 5 weeks. And then we put the grades in there, and now we're being told that if you give a student a B or a C at that 5 week, you cannot give them an F at the quarter. And impacting quite a few students, because as the grading period goes on and more work is coming about, and then you get into enrollment and the rest of it, all of a sudden a student can stop coming to class or stop doing assignments, and then at the quarter their grade does plummet. So unless you contact the parents beforehand, you cannot give that student an F. Teachers are starting to retaliate they're saying that, okay, they got to change their teaching strategy, be stricter at the beginning, give more heavyweight assignments at the beginning when probably not the best time to do it, to get that, to protect themselves at the end. And I think there's a problem with that. So what we're asking is that the school board go ahead and revisit its board policy on the marking, now that we've changed it with this Power Grade.
Bruce, can you wrap up, because we've got a lot of people here waiting?
If you could because the board policy has been one before we had Power Grade, so we're asking that the board go ahead and review the board policy.
The student's grade has declined to an F as opposed to just appearing on a quarterly report card, and that's always been our policy.
Okay, thank you. Is there anyone else from the public who would like to address the board? Okay. Let's move on then to reports by school staff. Are there any school staff who'd like to report this evening? Okay, seeing none, then we'll move on to status of the state budget. Mr. Miller.
Thank you, Mr. President. And the status of the state budget is that it's in dire straits and is in an imminent danger of collapse. there's very little good news coming out of the state of California's legislative body in terms of its budget that they're faced with this year and that they'll be faced with next year. In quick summary, because I know we have a lot to talk about, the state has a structural deficit that's approaching $10 billion, and that might not be all, that there has been a downturn in property tax revenue collections, which is going to impact the state budget and its need to support Prop 98. If you remember, the revenue limits that the state has guaranteed to districts, half of it's made up of property taxes in an average school district, and half of it's backfilled by the state of California from its own revenues. As the property tax half declines because of reductions in either turnover of housing or actual reassessments in declining value, the state share has increased. And that comes at a time when the budget that they created for this year is being found to have been established on some very shaky ground. There's some significant defects in what they had anticipated and what actually came to pass. I think that one of the speakers that I heard recently talked about some of the key parts of the Prop 98 and the legislative analyst's assessment of the budget being that the Department of Finance agrees with the LAO numbers, and the LAO, which is the Legislative Analyst Office, has projected the $10 billion deficit. The governor's office is calling for sacrifice from all quarters, essentially asking for cutting expenditures of all government agency spending by 10%. Options about Prop 98 are being discussed, and what that means is either a suspension of Prop 98 or a deficiting of the COLA. And the past 30 days, he has ceased to reference the education budget at all. Some of the decisions that the LAO has projected for the state of California to fix its budget revolve around slow program growth by reducing or eliminating COLAs. This is a huge impact on our budget. It's an even bigger impact on our revenue limit budget. We expect to get COLA on special ed and categorical programs. Without that COLA, we can't sustain the program in its current mode because of the cost increases without the resulting revenue increase. Roll back recent program expansions, PE, VAPA, all of those aspects of the expansions of certain programs are in imminent danger. Reduce program benefits. Eliminate duplicative or ineffective programs. Yeah, well, that's an easy one. Shift costs to special funds or user fees. The VLF was just pulled. Now they want to switch it back and bring it again. Eliminate tax credits and tax expenditure programs. Increase efforts to enforce existing tax laws and raise tax rates. Well, the Democrats agree in this particular case with Republicans that taxes will not increase. That's not even an option. The Prop 98 piece, suspend or reduce COLA, roll back recent program expansions, identify non-Proposition 98 funding sources. In other words, what they're coming up with as problems and solutions are fairly ineffective and have been tried numerous times without success in the past. Clearly, what the state is faced with is a promise to pay without the revenues to do so. And Prop 98 is a constitutional guarantee that was voted by the voters and guarantees us a certain percentage of the budget. If they suspend Prop 98, the impact on education throughout the state is going to be rather severe. It'll take the force of reducing or eliminating categorical programs for us. Okay, so we'll have our fair share to pay, and it'll be in the form of categorical programs. But almost certainly, the COLA and categorical programs for districts throughout the state are the thing that they're most imminent in danger of losing. On a local level, our particular look at our revenues for assessments of their property, and while Prop 13 guaranteed us a 2%, didn't guarantee us, guaranteed a a 2% increase on an annual basis of your property valuation and taxes. When you get a reassessment of your property, it could go negative for the agencies that enjoy the revenues. So we as a county have not seen a tremendous number of those reassessments, but Santa Barbara is seen in the thousand. So there are over 1,000 of those requests at this point. It could become a force to be dealt with. If we don't see our 2% increase, then we have issues about our budget being sustainable in terms of having revenues to match growing costs. Fuel alone is doubled in the last 2 years for diesel costs, and our busing program is seeing the effect of that. So at this point, we watch, we listen. When we go to CSBA, I'm sure we'll have numerous conferences about how to deal with the revenue shortfalls at the state level, and we'll just have to pay attention. This is going to be very similar to how it was 5 or 6 years ago when they were deficiting the COLA up to 10%. They ended up owing districts in excess of 10% back about 7 years ago, which was a cumulative effect of almost 12 years before that. So it's an annual problem we'll have to look for. Mr. Buckman.
Chris, if I could. Just before I left last night, I checked my email, and I don't know if anyone else has seen this yet or not, but when the state requires schools and other state agencies to do things, they sometimes have to pay for it. That's called a mandated cost.
Right.
The budget this year includes $38,000. It should be somewhere up about, I think, $3 million for public education.
Yeah.
CSBA has filed suit today. The California School Boards Association filed suit to recover the mandated costs. So
the mandated costs and the MAW and the discretionary revenues that we go after to enhance our revenues as a district are the things that have fallen by the wayside because they're arbitrary and optional by the state to fund. And clearly, there are 38 mandates that have been found by the State Commission on Mandates, and the constitutional requirement is the state has to pay those. But there's a caveat. For 3 years, we ended up being owed over $1.5 million.
Mr. Miller, have you heard any grumblings or do you have any thoughts about a challenge to basic aid?
No, I am. One of the questions that was posed was, is there anticipated to be a challenge to state aid? And the response was kind of a good news, bad news thing. No, because we were so successful in the defense of it the last time. But with term limits, legislators who experienced the pain of trying to take our basic aid status have been termed out and been replaced by legislators who have no memory of that particular instance. So to the extent that there is lingering memory of that attempt, we're pretty safe. To the extent that they get desperate and somebody proposes it, nothing is off the table when you get into these crisis situations at the legislative level, and they're all interested in saving their own particular good idea. So it becomes a toss-up question. I don't know the answer to it, but certainly we learned a lot the first time around, and we can put into play pretty significant strategies that were successful last time.
Well,
thank you.
And I would suspect that we're going to, in some cases, have sort of the perfect storm of lowered state revenues and declining enrollment. And for us, certainly, but for revenue limit districts, that's going to be catastrophic, I think.
It is. It's going to be so painful that if you think about what a revenue limit district is going through in situations out of their control, they're going to get a deficit or no COLA or a minimum COLA. They're going to have declining enrollment, and they perhaps have already settled with their unions under the expectation of a full COLA. And so when you have those particular three things coming together, it is, as Mr. Unker says, a perfect storm for districts who are already at a minimum reserve level anyway. It's just there's no meat left on the bones in some cases. and not because of a propensity to make bad decisions. Simply, circumstances have given some districts a bad hand from which there is no escape, no relief. It's going to be very painful.
And I know we'll be talking about our budget soon, and I think these are issues that, although we don't usually start talking about the budget till I comment on this.
Good evening, Board. This evening, you've got several proposed amendments to the agreement with SureEdge, Inc. for the development of the Avila property. And there, the actual contract language is presented to you with line through and strike out and additions highlighted. There are a few highlights to the proposed changes. One, that the project description more accurately reflects the current envisioned project of 12 residential units instead of 14. The on-site relocation and adaptive reuse of the existing building into three affordable one-bedroom residential units. Some site plan and lot line changes. The architectural details are different than those that you saw in the when the agreement was approved, but they are similar to what was presented to you a few months ago by representatives from SureEdge. And the removal of one of the partners from SureEdge, as he's no longer associated with the company. And staff has reviewed the changes and recommends board approval, and we listen to your discussion.
Let's move on then to public comment. And we'll begin with Pete Kelly, and I'd ask that each person who'd like to speak this evening please take 3 minutes, and we have the timer. So, Mr. Kelly.
Hi, I'm Pete Kelly, and I'm a resident of Avila, and I'm an elected official on the Avila Community Services District. I've given you this copy of this letter from Jane Line, the president of the South County Historical Society. And so if you all had a chance to read that, should I read it to you? Okay. Just to highlight a few things, the original trustees of the Avila School, John Beck, Juan Avila, and Joaquin Canay. Well, Canay, his grandfather was the first civilian to arrive in San Luis Obispo County, the first person that wasn't a Chumash, a priest, or a Mexican soldier. Okay, his grandson was one of the first trustees. Juan Avila was the son of Don Miguel de Avila, who originally got the San Miguelito land grant. I think one paragraph here is really important. The Jane Line says, our members understand and appreciate a school district's charge to manage its number one, and then I'll be followed by other community members. And this is the project scope description, 12 residential units instead of 14, more square footage and more bedrooms and fewer units. So actually what you get is you get 6 units that have 4 bedrooms and 3 baths. Those are vacation rentals. There's no one around that's going to buy a 4-bedroom and 3-bath house. What they do, you can get an extended family or your 20 relatives or whatever, and you can stay in one of those for a week. That causes parking problems. It also causes where there's not citizens in Avila. Now 70% of our water bills get shipped out of town because everybody's buying vacation rentals. Who's to say in 100 years if that'll change? No one knows. In that same square footage, you could put 20 one- and two-bedroom mixes. That's 1,100 square feet for the two-bedroom and 850 for the one-bedroom, 20 of those. And you could rent those out with the stipulation that the renters be teachers in San Luis Coastal. And you would not only save the schoolhouse.
Could you wrap up, Pete?
Sure.
Thanks.
You would save the schoolhouse on its present location. You would do a great service for your teachers. We would have citizens in Avila to participate that live there. The school would get more revenue in the long run that they're getting with SureEdge's plan. And the school board's good and the San Luis Coastal School District's good reputation would even be better. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Ann Brown.
My name is Ann Brown. I'm a property owner of 40 years in Avila and presently live at 46 San Antonio Street, have for 5 years, which is one block from the proposed development. Avila residents, present and past, are concerned about the Avila Schoolhouse and its possible demise. As you know, there are two conflicting opinions about its historical place in Avila's history. A third opinion is being solicited and will be available by the end of the year. Exhibit B in your packet, which is part of what you're deciding on tonight, suggests relocating the structure to a new building pad. The opinion go on record as opposing the extension of the contract for more than the time it takes to receive the third report and review it. Perhaps 3 months would be appropriate. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Tom Guernsey?
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
We only have page 8 of the report, which are all conclusions, okay. So it's not very helpful.
Okay.
If we could get the other 7 or so pages, that would be nice. Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Maher. Mr. Guernsey?
Good evening, members of the board. Staff, Tom Guernsey, Avila Beach, longtime resident, elected official for over 13 years. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak. I'd like to echo the concerns of Pete Kelly and Ann Brown on site problems. Just looking around the room this evening, I see a sign over here. It says, sometime honesty takes courage, but it's the right thing to do. Well, we have a problem with the development of the project and the people behind it not being honest with the community. And Exhibit B, 4.16 is the development plan description. Says that the two options are the consists of relocation or demolition of the building. If the developers and our supervisor had heeded to the needs of the community, they would know that there should be a third alternative on this development plan, and that would be leaving the building in place so it can maintain its historical significance. The Avila School is the last truly historical building within the community and will always be the very heart of the community. When we reach above our brain mind to the hearts of those whom we have differences, a give and take of feeling and attitude by both parties occurs in a short span of time. Even the most intractable situation becomes possible to resolve. So it is in our ordinary dealing with our family and our work when we spontaneously appeal to the greatness in the other person from the greatness within ourselves. We naturally become clairvoyant and recognize each other's inward need. There is a beauty and a magic in this, for we are aided by nature herself, as Catherine Tringley reminds us. Our strength lies in keeping positive, holding a steady joy in our...
Good evening. How am I? Okay. Good evening. My name is Robert Martin. I'm a resident property owner in Avila Beach. I am here to address the staff report item on modification to agreement. Specifically, and I quote, the architectural detail changes to reflect input from the Avila community. The architectural renderings as a part of this board's packet are solely that what the developer wants to do with this project. They don't represent the community's input on the schoolhouse. Those inputs, including the Avila Beach subcommittee meetings, AVAC meetings, letters from Avila Beach Community Service District, letters from the Avila Beach Civic Center, second historical report by Andrew Merriam, and numerous letters to the editor, editorials, voice of the people, in newspapers, and verbal communications from the Avila community. The schoolhouse renderings as a part of this board packet were presented by Sheer Edge to the Avila Beach subcommittee in a recent meeting. This being an information-only meeting to apprise the AVAC subcommittee and communicate and committee community members present of the proposed progress of the project, the meeting resulting in some questions, answers, and comments. The committee made no final conclusion on the project because the AVAC subcommittee is still wanting the information by way of the San Luis Coastal of the San Luis Obispo County Planning on a third historical report and ensuing CEQA requirements that will be set forth on the project. These items being necessary to do an informative review of every project involving a historical structure. Something that was noted to Shear Edge and Mr. Russell Miller at different meetings was that the new project design was in conflict with the Andrew Merriam Historical Report, in effect changing the historical significance of both the exterior of the structure by adding roof pop-outs and by relocating the building on site. As a further item, I would like to apprise the board that the AVAC subcommittee is a committee of representatives from the town of Avila Beach for reviewing our labor. The AVAC subcommittee and AVAC, all the way from getting UNICAL to remove their contamination to the rebuild of the town. I'm sorry, but we don't have enough time or energy to do the design work of any project. That's up to the developers.
Could you wrap up, sir?
Yes,
thank you.
I will. That's up to the developers. The process is set forth by San Luis Obispo Planning as follow, and if followed with community input, will prove expedient and cost-effective. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Betty Woody, please.
Good evening. I'm Betty Woody, a longtime resident of Avila Beach. I graduated from that old schoolhouse from the eighth grade, and we went then to San Luis Obispo. I don't think you people really realize what that means to us residents of the community. I used to get off the bus. They gave us 5 minutes from the time the bell rang in San Luis Obispo to catch the bus to get home. So all of us kids went to the schoolhouse. We didn't have a ball to kick around, but we kicked the can around and we had fun. And what I'm saying is I would like you to consider not what the dollars will bring to the Unified School District, not what the profit will bring to the developers, but what will it do for our children? We have children there in Avila. We hope with all the new buildings to have more children. I took a petition around and talked to family after family after family, and I never had anybody turn me down. And their main concern was, what will this do for the children? I'm asking you as a school board, how can we help our children? They're what our country's all about. If I was in Iraq, I'd be scared of the suicide bomber. If I was in Southern California, I'd be afraid of the fires. If I was in Cambria, I'd be wondering about water. But I live in Avila, and I'm worried about the developers' ball that wrecks our town. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mrs. Woody. Mr. Brown, Terry Brown.
Well, Betty's a hard act to follow. My name is Terry Brown, and I'm a resident of Avila Beach, and I'm a director on our Avila Beach Community Services District Board and a board member of the Avila Beach Civic Association. There's been tremendous development in our community of the available property in our town, with the result that our schoolhouse is
up in Avila Beach. I graduated from there in the eighth grade and went on to San Luis Obispo to finish high school in Cal Poly. I'm not really up to date on all the maneuverings that have been taking place regarding the fate of the old Avila schoolhouse, but I'd like to see the old schoolhouse saved at its present location. When I went to school there, my father and his four brothers and his sister, who went on to start the Avila Grocery and run it all her life, they had all gone through the school ahead of me. In fact, almost everyone in town had gone to the school. The business owners, the fishermen, the ranchers, the farmers, just about everybody in town had graduated from that school. But it was more than a school. It was a town's church. It was a scout house. It was a women's club, sometimes called the gossip club. It was a USO. The Halloween parties were held there. The school plays were there. The sewer department and the fire department met there, and that's where the Avila Beach sewer system was designed. It was our town hall. It was the town's town hall, the only meeting place that the town had. We don't have much left in Avila Beach of a historic nature. The Avila Grocery is no longer recognizable. The Yacht Club never was part of the town's life. That old schoolhouse really is our last reminder of old Avila. I think it should be preserved right where it's always served the town.
Thank you, Mr. Martin. Is there anyone else who wishes to speak, sir?
Good evening. My name is Marshall Ohilski. I'm the attorney and representative for Share Edge. And also Michael Hodges here, who is one of the, one of the development team members, can answer any questions. What I wanted to do is just give you a quick update of the project and where it stands. We were here, as was mentioned a few months ago, to talk to you about the turns that the process has taken and where the project is currently going. And I just want to say that the developer has been diligently pursuing the project since the lease was signed with them. And they've expended a significant amount of money. And currently, we're where we are. We ran into some difficulties with the county processing, which has to do with the historic nature of the schoolhouse building. We're presently, as has been mentioned, there's a historical report being prepared by the county by a third party that will determine whether or not the building is historical. And then it will be up to the county to decide how to proceed. If the building's not historical, the project was all the way at the Planning Commission before this issue was even raised. So that's caused almost a two-year delay in the project, and that's what caused the development team to come forward and request an extension in the lease of the 2 years that it's taking to do the historical analysis. You know, the project is financially viable as it's been reconfigured, and the project description as you've been given clearly states that. And I want to stress again that the financial return to the school district under this lease is over $66 million, a return that could not be gotten by the school district if the property was sold. Clearly, you're not even in the ballpark of getting that same amount of return. So if we talk about financial hardship, and we're talking about the ability of the district getting a payment of $66 million over the term of the lease, I think that that is something that's really a positive for the school district. We agree with all the comments in the staff report, and I'll answer any questions from, you know, the board, and Michael Hodge is also here to answer any questions you may have. But we just believe that we've been fulfilling all the terms of the lease on our part. We've been communicating with the school board staff, and we'd request your concurrence to the extension and the minor modifications to the lease term that have been requested. If you have any questions, I can answer those.
Thank you, Mr. Olczewski.
Could I inquire, Mr. President?
Yes, go ahead.
Mr. Olczewski, forgive me if I'm not pronouncing your last name.
It's Ohilski, but that's
Ohilski.
All right.
Sorry, you know, Ohilski. I studied it extensively this afternoon, and I still couldn't do it, but thank you for the help. Is it your understanding that this finding that's pending will be binding on the county as far as the determination of the nature of the building as to whether historical or not?
What is being prepared right now, as I think that has been brought up by the public, the initial historical analysis that was done as part of the project said it was not historical.
Right.
Members of the community commissioned another report that said it was historic, actually, in its third version. As part of the environmental review process, the county has requested, in order to get rid of any question about its historical status, that a third party, independent of these two parties, prepare its own independent report, which will not decide between the two, but it's actually a new report being prepared. The county then will get that determination and then make a decision on how to proceed with the structure itself. So whether it's found historic or not, or whatever the determination of this process is, it's still up to the county's CEQA process and approval process as to decide what happens with the school, regardless of this finding.
I had a progression or the development at that point.
Well, and maybe Mike want to speak to this, but let me just, I'll take an attempt at that. Let me go a little further, I guess, on Mr. Millar's question, too. There's a number of components to the historic questions at this point. One is the exterior of the structure. One is with the location of the structure, as has been mentioned. And thirdly is the interior of the structure. And quite frankly, the interior of the structure is, we don't believe can be found historic because it's totally been destroyed and reused. So we think the reuse of the interior of the structure is allowed at any point at this, or under any scenario at this point. But the idea is to go ahead and, if it is found historic, to move the building, rehab the building's exterior to its former character, and then do the adaptive reuse into the inside. The developer has also said, even if it's found not historic and they're allowed to demolish the building, they will build a replica of that building on site, which quite frankly is cheaper than moving and repairing this building. And it will be better construction, obviously. And they would consider at that point actually increasing the square footage slightly to get more usable space on the inside. So that's something that will come as part of the review process. But I hope that's where you're going with your question.
Any other questions for Mr. Ohilski? Okay, seeing none, I'll bring it back to the board then for a discussion. Who'd like to lead off on the discussion on this? Anyone? Okay, then
I'll give it a. I have some thoughts about this. You know, because we represent the community, we're elected officials. Every comment and the input that we receive is important. We're at a point in time right now, from my perspective, where this agreement was reached several years ago, and the extension is being requested at this point to determine with further study the historical nature of this building. The struggle I have with this is that I can see very clearly how important something that's been a part of the community is to the people who have been there, who have lived with it, who have had their family connections develop in that place. I also struggle with the fact that as school board members, our oath is to follow the vision and the continue programs. So I look at the situation as two issues. At this point in time, there is no final decision because the county process, the coastal process, still is yet to occur. And I hope that the public input at those points will provide whatever necessity or whatever input will come from the county and from the Coastal Commission to make sure that whatever happens there is appropriate. I can't see the benefit to limiting this agreement at this point until we find out more about the historical value of the building and what's going to happen at the upcoming hearings with the county and the Coastal Commission. Because as a board member, I can't say at this point I'm not going to agree with this extension and give up the potential for added income to students who are going to come to this district, who are here presently and who will be here in the future, because that's my role as a board member. So I guess my feeling at this time is that I'm very anxious to see what the next report says. I'm very concerned as a board member to make sure that revenue is available for the district and for their students and for the programs that we have, because that's my job. But I also believe that this process has to go on somewhat further to allow all this information to be brought in so the public input at each of these stages can be factored into what eventually happens. And that's a long process from what I can tell with the county and with the Coastal Commission. But in hindsight, this agreement was reached. And in good faith, I can tell that this company had been doing what they said they would do. So I'm in favor of allowing the next project to come in, or the next report to come in, so we can see.
Yeah, Mr. Millar and then Mr. Buckman.
Okay, thank you, Chris. The decision that we made 2 years ago or so to go forward on this project, I felt was a good decision at that time. In fact, I believe I even made the comment that I hope to have my name on a plaque on the corner of the building someday. The changes that we've experienced in the school district in general and California public education makes this a better decision than it was at the time we undertook it. And what I would like to see us do with these modifications tonight is make sure that this project continues to go forward. What strikes me about the well-intentioned folks have spoken to us tonight and continue to show up. That's the burden of public education. And that day in September or late August, we have an obligation to educate every child that shows up at the door of our schools. The voices that we are not hearing tonight are the voices of the children that will come to the door of our schools in the years to come and demand that we educate them and their parents. I remember thinking that building, if it has a value and will contribute to nurture the memories and the place that it played in the community, to me, what better role than providing funding for children that are going to come to us to be educated? The voices we're not hearing are the parents of these children in the future. I was encouraged by the additional board materials in the plans and drawings, renderings from Sheer Edge, and I do understand that they're still general and they're still unknowns as far as the historical value of the building, but I have to believe that this project will accommodate the appropriate level of concern for this building, and I'm not trying to prejudge it. I just feel like the decision that we made to be looking toward the future is a valid one. I have faith that we'll be able to figure out a way to accommodate your concerns, maybe not to everybody's satisfaction. But I've closed schools. I've had employees standing around a boardroom just like this, losing their jobs because we ran into financial problems, and I'm not going to do that again. I'm going to make sure that we determine and utilize to the best interest of our future students the properties that we can't use in other ways now. And I hope we're successful in facilitating the changes that Sheer Edge needs, and hopefully we will encourage this process to go forward so that we can get this revenue on stream.
As a new member of the board, I want to first of all say thank you. I really appreciate the material that I received and the phone calls that I got and some of the emails. It was very helpful for me to understand the history of the school and the sentiments of the community. I happen to know that at some point there were 122 one-room schoolhouses in this county. We made Guinness Book of Records because we had so many. So when I look at the plans here tonight, what I see is an attempt by the developer to preserve the spirit of this school and to make a commitment to keep the architectural concept there. I'm pretty taken by that. And so I at this point, if it's okay, I'd like to make a motion.
You could go ahead and make a motion, of course.
I'd like to move for approval of the contract with the extension of the contract with Sheer Edge.
It's been moved. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Millar. Is there any other discussion? Mr. Peter.
I'll make one comment or two. I wasn't involved in the process or on the board at the time that that this came before the board. It predates me. We did have a meeting a couple of months back, I think it was 5 or 6 months back, where the developers came and presented to me what I thought at the time was a really positive development in the project in moving the affordable units into the schoolhouse and preserving the exterior and the integrity of the schoolhouse. I remember commenting, and I thought that was a pretty innovative solution. At a closed session the other day, we talked about, you know, some of the things that we could do or at our retreat to keep the meetings brief. And one might be, you know, not expounding upon a lot of things that other board members have said if you agree with them. And I would like to say I really agree with what Walt and what John had to say tonight. But I would encourage the developers to keep working with the community over here as this project unfolds and you go through the process with the county and with the Coastal Commission. I think they have valid input. And, you know, regardless of what the historical report says when it comes when it's prepared and presented in a couple of months, I would love to see the developers to continue to reach out to the community, work with them, and see that you can reach a consensus with this group and try to find a solution to preserve, whether it's the building in its current form or some other type of solution to preserve the integrity of that building somewhere, whether it's on the site or maybe even revisiting it off the site. I recall the Las Osas Schoolhouse, when it was at the corner of Turi Road and Las Osas Valley Road. We used to take that road to church in the morning on Sundays in San Luis. And it was a great old schoolhouse that was there, and it was dilapidated. And I thought it was a really positive thing when they moved it to where it is and became a community center in Las Osas. So I'd love to see something like that happen and maybe revisit those discussions to see if somebody might be willing to do that and find a more appropriate location than was perhaps proposed before.
And point is of there any other discussion? Yes.
The Mr. Buckman's motion was relative to the extension, but there are additional contract language changes, and I think it might, if I may suggest, that he consider rewording the motion to include the contract changes as recommended by staff and including the extension.
Mr. Buckman, do you accept that amendment?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
And I'll renew my second.
Okay. Any other discussion? Mrs. Roger?
Well, I feel like I have to say something, although most everything's already been said. I was on the board when we first began to look at what we could do to utilize the properties that we were not using for school sites to generate a revenue stream for the district. We had recently come off of two budget project teams where we were looking at making cuts, and we could see that we really needed to generate ongoing revenues. That was our thrust. There's a part of me that really wishes that Avila had come forward, the people of Avila had come forward at the time that we were first discussing this. I don't know if it would have changed things, but it might have created better dialogue between ultimately the developer and the people, so that I just wish it had turned out differently. You know, I really feel for you folks. I feel for you. It's hard to lose a piece of your history. It's like losing a piece of a member of your family. And I wish that you would perhaps take another look at the schoolhouse if the developer refurbished it so that the exterior resembled what you have known, and take another look at it and see if maybe that would be a little more palatable than it's been in the past. I do encourage the developers to work with the people of Avila to try to work something out so that they will feel that they have a piece of their history, and so that we will ultimately have a project that pencils out for the developer, is beneficial to the school district, and gives the people of
0708 arts and music block grant expenditures. And I wanted to say thank you very much for coming this evening. Dr. Matakovich?
Yes, if the board will remember, back in June, we presented a report to you relative to the disbursement of the art and music block grant. The conditions that have been imposed on us for the 07-08 expenditure of these funds is that the board makes a resolution in the event that the recommendation in terms of distributing the funds is not distributed to all sites on an equal amount per pupil. If you'll remember, the proposal presented by our Visual and Performing Arts Committee and reviewed by Curriculum Council and the principals was that we would address the K-6 arts program by funding teaching artists in the area of visual arts, dance, and theater, developing a K-6 curriculum in these areas, and as well funding field trips at the secondary level. You at your last meeting took a look at the strategic plan and emphasized the need for us to embed our visual and performing arts objectives in our curriculum. Your feedback has been very supportive in this area, and so we present this resolution tonight for your approval. The resolution shall specify how funds are allocated for district-wide purposes. And one of the conditions of this resolution was that prior to this meeting, all school site councils were to be informed of these expenditures. And I am here to tell you that all school site councils have been informed. So we recommend that you approve resolution 060708, Arts and Music Block Grant Expenditures.
Mrs. Roger?
I'll move approval of resolution 060708.
Mr. Buckman?
I'll second.
I do have a question. Have these funds been dispersed yet, Mr. Miller?
No.
And what are the, what are you thinking that, I'm sorry?
Partially.
To get the rest of the disbursement, obviously we need to do the resolution. What do you think the chances are that the state's either not going to fund it, or is there a chance they'll take back what they've already given us?
The ongoing funding is what is in doubt about this, and the chances of...
Are we spending this in arrears as we do on other, like the lottery account and things like that?
No, we haven't.
Okay.
We're planning on spending it. What we've done is we've gotten into a process of planning to spend. That was a lengthy process. We're now at the end of that process. Before we can spend it, the state requires us to have the board examine the aspects of it and pass this resolution.
Okay, thank you. John?
Yeah, thank you. Before we take a vote, I wanted the board to consider just a little addition of some language under the fifth whereas. It would state, if this is something that the board is comfortable with, whereas the Board of Education hereby finds that the best interest of students is served by directing the arts and music block grant in a district-wide allocation recommended by the district's visual and performing arts committee, supported by curriculum council, the administration, and consistent with the strategic plan. So that's always there in terms of the board's prior direction.
Okay. We have a motion on the floor. Mrs. Roger, is that an amendment that you would accept?
John, just explain to me once more what it is you want here.
That on the fifth whereas, you take the word and mm-hmm. before the administration, and then you add consistent with the strategic plan that we had agreed to and voted on.
Okay, I'll support that amendment to the motion.
I do.
And Mr. Buckman as well. Mark, did you have other comments?
Yeah, I just wanted to say, was at the last Visual and Performing Arts Committee meeting where Mrs. Matakovich presented this to everybody, and there was full support for it at that meeting among the teachers and also the community members.
Okay. Any other comments or discussion? Okay, Mrs. Holmes.
Mrs. Roger? Mr. Buckman? Mr. Millar?
Aye.
Mr. Unger?
Yes.
Mr. Spadafore?
Yes.
Mr. Peter?
Aye.
Passes 6-0.
Okay. Let's move on then to item number 5, instructional materials adoption, K-5 science.
The instructional materials advisory panel, composed of K-6 teachers, recommendation for K-5 science has been reviewed and forwarded by the curriculum council and administration. And materials are available for review by the public until December 4th at the district office room E1 on Lizzie Street and at each elementary school site. And I did bring a few samples of those adoption materials, and I've laid them over here on the table. There's a grade 1 sample and a grade 4 sample. And so this the recommendation has been that we adopt it. This is just for review, the Delta Education Full Option Science System, also known as FOSS. And I just wanted to add that the committee that has worked on this has been very thoughtful in its process, enumerated reasons why they feel that we should adopt this program, and has taken into consideration feedback from sites and has actually begun to draft ideas about how this program might be implemented if it is approved. All of these materials recommended for adoption would be purchased using Instructional Realignment Block Grant. The K-5 adoption will cost approximately $239,000 with approximately $12,000 to $15,000 in ongoing costs for replacing consumables and living organisms that are part of the science kits. And we anticipate the cost of the grade 6 adoption to be about $46,000.
Are the consumables in the consumables
living
and
organisms.
The,
I want to
know the living organisms, one and the same?
who consumes the living organism?
No, we're not.
This isn't part of the cafeteria block, right?
No, it isn't. No, they are two different items. And so we present this item for your review and your input.
Thank you. Mr. Buckman, did you have a comment?
I have a quick question.
Mr. Spadafore.
Yeah, Rita, I was just curious, just a bit of background. Were there other options? And if so, how strongly was this supported by the groups
committee?
That did this?
Yeah. Okay. When the committee first met, they evaluated five different programs presented by publishers at a publisher's fair, and they narrowed those choices down to three. And then we spent a day listening to presentations by those publisher ones in 04. So it was an overwhelming recommendation.
There's one of those living organisms.
Oh, Bob. Yeah. I don't know, Bob. I think it's broken. Uh-oh. Does that mean we have to cancel the meeting? Do we want to, Bob, do you want to? We're back. Oh, yeah, we are back. Okay. Thank you. Any other questions? Are you asking for a motion this evening, or are you waiting? Are you going to bring it back at the next board meeting after a review of the public on December 4th?
That's correct. We'll bring it back for approval.
Okay. Great. Then any other discussion on this item? Then seeing that, we'll bring it back on December 4th. Yep. Let's move on to item number 6, something that's near and dear to my heart. Decision on nomination of Chris Unger for re-election to the CSBA Delegate Assembly. Dr. Valentine. I'm used to doing that. I guess I could do it for this one, too.
Well, San Luis Coastal resides in a particular region of the state with respect to CSBA representation. Currently, there are two representatives from our region, but currently one of our representatives is our own Chris Unger. His spot as a delegate, as a CSBA delegate, which he occupies now, is coming up again for re-election and renomination. The board has the right to nominate a candidate for nomination, and Chris has indicated interest and willingness to do that, and so we bring the opportunity to do so to the board.
And I would vote for myself. I think I'm allowed to do that.
Mr. Millar and then Mr. Buckner.
This is
agenda item after that.
I'm puts sorry. Me in mind of the Senate hearings to confirm the late John Tower for Secretary of Defense. I know Mr. Unger to be a man of some discipline, and I would be proud and privileged to move that we renew the nomination of Chris Unger.
I'll second.
It's been moved by Mr. Millar and seconded by Mr. Peter. Is there any other discussion? Okay.
I just want to note that I remember my first second and then my first. And that was probably my last second, I would guess.
Move on to the action consent agenda. Just let me know, of course, if you want to pull something. Item number 7, approval of certificated and classified personnel items. Number 8, acceptance of donations. Number 9, disposition of surplus property. 10, approval of furniture and equipment requests. 11, approval of purchase orders. 12, approval of K-12 school improvement plans for 2007-2008. And 13, approval of instructional materials adoption for environmental science. I didn't see anybody pull it. Would somebody like to make a motion?
He's going to do the.
Would somebody like to make a motion? Mr. Peter?
Move approval of the action consent agenda items number 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, and 13.
Okay, it's been moved by Mr. Peter and seconded by Mr. Spadafor. All in favor? Aye. Carries 6-0. Let's move on then to item number 15, advanced agenda. Is there anyone that would like to add something to the advanced agenda? Mr. Buckman.
Yes, I think this will only take about 40 minutes, so if Walt will be patient.
So much for the retreat.
I would like to ask my fellow board members to support me in having a discussion about the district looking at only purchasing vehicles that are run on alternative fuels or hybrid vehicles, or at least discussing whether we can or we cannot start to change the fleet. As I'm around town, I'm seeing vehicles that I think also are available as alternative vehicles.
Mr. Millar?
I'm wondering whether Mr. Parker could provide us some initial information on just the status of the fleet, what's involved in replacing that, what kind of attrition and time and money kinds of constraints might be involved, and then with that preliminary information, then we could proceed to decide what we wanted to do with it after that, if you'll be all right with that.
So the board is directing information on alternative fuel vehicles for the district. And Mark, are you talking? I'm assuming you're talking about all of our fleet vehicles, including buses, vans, maintenance vehicles, stuff. What will be December the 18th?
The board's reorganization meeting.
Okay. Okay. So we'll do the board, and we have to do that by the last board meeting in December. Is that correct? Okay. Very good. Anything else? Okay. Are there reports from board members and district administrators? Dr. Valentine.
I'll defer to the board at this point, but I'd just like to express some appreciation to a board member at some point in this.
I think now would be the time to do that.
Well, just as we talked about last first and first last and all of those things a moment ago, it pointed out to all of us that Dave Peter is going to be stepping down. Tonight is his last board meeting. And I just want to share how much I have appreciated as the board's employee working for a gentleman with his clear insight and the ability to articulate points of view and to point all of us in directions that I think always had the best interest of children at heart. It's wonderful to see somebody who embraces community service for all the right reasons. And Dave, I just want to wish you all the best in your new enterprise and in the new restaurant you're opening in Morro Bay. That's the galley, everybody. And also to thank you for the time you've spent with us.
Mr. Millar.
And I just would add to that I've really appreciated Dave's energy and enthusiasm and upbeat nature. I don't remember ever going into an expulsion or a hearing or a board meeting where you communicated and radiated enthusiasm and for getting the job done. And you're just a terrific guy, and I'm going to miss you, but it's nice to know that we could drop by for a nosh every once in a while.
And Mr. Buckman.
I often come to meetings with fairly preconceived notions, and yeah, it's true. They often get changed while I'm here. And my sense is that Dave has come with a fairly open mind and heart, and has often been the one who has influenced me. So I am truly going to miss him, and I'm hoping that I can continue to call him on his very fancy cell phone and get advice.
Also, you know, I think that the sacrifices someone makes, as Dave had.
Go ahead, Marilyn.
Well, I just hate doing this, and I, you know, I'm going to miss you terribly. I think you've been a wonderful board member and someone that I could always talk to and count on your opinions and your advice, and you're very thoughtful and considered. It's been great having you on the board, and I am going to miss you, sincerely going to miss you. I know that I can find you at the galley restaurant if I need to, and or find my daughter there too. And I wish you every success. I'm really glad that you seized the opportunity to come forward and be appointed to this board, because you have given us, we've got received a lot from you, and that we'll carry with us. So good luck, Dave.
And I'll close with usually the notion of a galley slave is a negative. I think going into the restaurant business, you'll find that you'll be working really hard and slaving at something that you truly love. And I wish you the best. I'm going to miss you, and I've told you that. I understand your reasons behind it, and I think that's based on your appreciation and your love of your family, but also your feeling of your responsibility to the school district and what you can and can't do. I'm reminded of the Wizard of Oz, and he says, what you need is a testimonial, and we've given you a testimonial here, and you've certainly been a testament to great public service, and we really appreciate the things that you've done, so thank you. And would you like to make the final motion, sir?
Can I make a few comments first?
Absolutely.
Or should we adjourn first, and then I can really
why don't
let
you
it
make
out?
Some, why don't you make some comments, and
let
and
me make some
we'll
comments.
Have an opportunity
well, thank
for
you.
People to see that.
That was very kind, everything that all of you had to say. And I just want to say it was a really difficult decision for me to leave the board. I did not think when I applied for the board and then subsequently in the election that I would be a year and a half into it resigning. But just in my heart of hearts, I felt that a school board member really needs to make a much deeper commitment than I would be able to make once I was in my new business, which will be open 7 days a week, both lunch and dinner. And I just felt that the commitment to our children was not one that I could really continue to keep, at least at the level that I had been, once we would have the business open. Even if I was able to shut, the business down or have somebody stand in for me on a Tuesday night about it. I got so darn busy in the, getting the restaurant ready that I didn't really come up with a specific speech for tonight. But I think each and every one of you really contributed to helping me become a better board member, and the administration as well. Mark, you're kind of the policy wonk on the board. I mean, you've been so deeply involved in public education for so many years, and you know Ed Code, you know the policy, and I think that's, you mentioned coming to meetings and then hearing a different viewpoint, and several times, I think, throughout the year that you've been on the board, I've perhaps changed or modified opinion based on something that you presented that was just a fact out of Ed Code. Some guidance for a new board member, at least in the beginning, don't ever go first. Give yourself, I remember one of my early board meetings, I came out with a strong position that I've been thinking about all week long. I was ready to go, and then I heard something down here that completely changed my position. I had to unwind it, and I did, but it was just one of those things where, wait a little bit, maybe let some of the experts over here speak first. Walt, you're the elder statesman, I think, on the board. I don't mean that in a bad way, but Walt is an experienced board member, and in a way has been a mentor to me and provided guidance, and I've always liked Walt's nuts and bolts approach. That's sort of given my business background, that's sort of my view on things, and I really appreciated that. Marilyn, you're the heart and soul of the board. I think everybody would agree about that. You always help us remember that at the end of any decision we make up here, there's a child at some point or at some level that we need to think about, and really, so importantly, the kids that are less advantaged. We have many that have plenty of advantages within this community that many that don't, especially at this expulsion hearings, and I think you really had a way of getting us all to think about those issues. Plus, you were a huge help to me in the beginning. When I was a new board member, I used to find all kinds of reasons to run to Ace Miners Hardware in Los Osos and buy something just so I could talk to Marilyn and figure out what the heck was going on. So she helped me in tremendous ways. Chris, again, you have a deep, deep, deep commitment to public education, and it's admirable. And like Mark, with his knowledge of Ed Code and policy, you seem to be able to Grok an incredible amount of information from the LA Times and the Fresno Bee, and you always had a comment or a quip or a quote or some story that you'd read, and it seems like it's a deep passion for you, and I think we've all benefited from that. And John, you're an amazing speaker. You have an amazing way of putting words together and clarifying what are sometimes very, very difficult concepts that we deal with here. And I could pick a team. I'd hire any of you guys in a second. I mean, you're doing a fantastic job, and in every public conversation or private conversation I think I've had with any of you, again, at the end of the day, the decision is almost always about the kids, and I think that's really important and admirable. Bruce, you've been at all the meetings. Keep fighting for what you believe in. Keep fighting for the students. You know, I think that's really important. And there aren't a lot of teachers here tonight, but, you know, many of this was not the most interesting or exciting agenda for them. But, you know, the teachers, the classified staff, the bus drivers, the janitors, everybody in the district, it's been fantastic to work with them. And I applaud you all. Keep up the great work. Thanks. And I formally move that we adjourn. All right.